Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Elderbrand's Crown of the Oathbreaker is a 500-page D&D 5e adventure module and campaign setting with player options. The Dark Fantasy Sandbox adventure incorporates over 30 dungeon maps and 3 regional maps with over 100 locations on each, taking characters from 5th to 12th level through a cursed kingdom to the Fey Realm. 2,000-plus community votes continuously influence story details through the Elderbrand Discord. There's even an Elderbrand Soundscapes app for non-repetitive background ambience specific to certain locations in the adventure. Find all this at elderbrand.com. Join the hive mind and become part of the adventure. Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, and today we're talking about Hexbloods and Dampiers. Finally here.
Indeed.
Spooky times. It's like the best time of year because it's spooky.
Indeed.
That's need I say anything else? So there's a contest on Discord.
Oh yeah,
contest. To get spooky with it in the art section, the Artapalooza. Do a spooky drawing, enter the contest. Somebody's gonna pick a winner.
Indeed.
Vlocity's taking care of that.
Are we also announcing our coffee contest?
We're having a coffee contest.
Indeed.
Adventurers Coffee Company
has reached out to us. They want to give us some free coffee to give to you guys. And so every week during October, we're giving away a bag of coffee. Is it actually like spooky themed? I know it's adventurer themed. It's D&D themed.
At this time, I'm assuming that this is all happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't know any details quite yet.
Well, we're
other than I know how much coffee we're getting.
And that we are giving it away.
And they're also going to run some type of promotion with us as a sponsor. So you will probably hear an ad for them
at some point.
Episode that I don't know about yet.
But that's not related to this. This, we're giving away free Adventurers Company coffee. It's D&D themed coffee, possibly Halloween themed coffee. And all you got to do to enter this week is share your favorite episode of the show with the hashtag DungeonCast on Twitter. That'll enter you. And you can also enter on Instagram by, I believe, liking and tagging two people on the post related to this coffee giveaway contest. That being said, let's get into today's episode.
Hexbloods and Dampiers.
Indeed. So today we are covering two spooky player options, which is new for our Spooktober Spookfest line of episodes. We are almost always exclusively covering monsters this time of year.
Yeah, because those are the scary parts of D&D.
Usually so. These two came out of the still pretty fresh Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, which is a source book I have very much enjoyed as it is full of many new spooky monsters and player options. I'm a big fan of classic horror and horror in general, so I love this time of year. In fact, I have plans after SuperQuest Saga is over to start a gothic horror campaign for our patrons over on Patreon.
That's great. That sounds really cool.
It's going to be fun.
Check out SuperQuest Saga, a podcast we do with our friends Jake and Josh that we are in space.
Indeed.
And DMs. It's really
and
good.
Also, speaking of spooky horror campaigns and Patreon, I believe we're re-releasing the Halloween special
to
the public.
We're making it public once again. I believe last year we made it public on Patreon. We're going to drop episode one into the feed and make the rest of the episodes available for free on patreon.com/thedungeoncast. So scope the first one. Shout out to Nox Arcana, who gave us permission to use their music to make it extra spooky.
I highly suggest you go watch it because it's fucking hilarious.
It's so good.
It's really goddamn
funny.
It's
so good.
But okay, back to it. So we are covering the race options, the Hexblood and the Dampier. One's half vampire, the other is half hag, sort of. But let's get into it, starting with the Dampier.
Okay.
So,
I like Dampier.
Yeah.
So I remember.
Back in our Vampires. Back in our Vampires episode, I called them Dampires.
I love it so much more.
It's because of the way Forgotten Realms Wiki spells it with a Y. I'm like, that can't be anything but the I sound.
You think it would be like double or triple?
It
e
looks
or
like
whatever.
The word pyre, like pyre, like P-Y-R-E, right? So it Dampire. But anyways, it's Dampier, and I was wrong. So Dampiers are humanoid beings with vampiric blood in their genealogy. Some are the descendants of male vampires and mortal females, Alucard from Castlevania, for anyone who's a Castlevania fan. But many others have one or more Dampier for parents, and sometimes result. I'm going to struggle with this Dampier or Dampire thing. I'll just let you know
it right now. Oh, just go for it at this point. You said it the right way, and that's all that matters.
One or more Dampiers for parents, and some result from a vampire of either sex biting a pregnant female. The pregnant woman likely dies in the process, but the child is born a Dampier.
That's like horrifying.
Like Blade from Marvel Comics. Yes. He's definitely a Dampier.
Did Blade start the Marvelverse?
What?
Did Blade start the MCU?
No. Oh, no. Definitely not. Great movie, though. Go watch Blade. It's a fun movie. I love it. God, now I've lost my place, Brian.
Sorry, man. It's just that people keep arguing on Instagram who started the MCU.
Iron Man literally started the MCU in 2008. Like, that's the beginning of the MCU. Everything else is Marvel, but not part of the MCU. It's not hard, people.
Here's Will. He's closing it out.
God. Anyways,
slam dunk, Will.
It can be difficult to tell if one is a Dampier at birth, as a Dampier's powers might lie dormant for years before being quickened, usually upon puberty. And just because one is a child of a Dampier does not guarantee that you will be a Dampier. Dampiers can also have children who are mortal living specimens of their reflective species.
So basically, if a pregnant woman dies in the streets or something like that, and they've got the vampire holes in their neck, like a supernatural investigator is going to come check things out. Mm-hmm. Perhaps a paladin, perhaps a cleric.
Sure.
Right? In this world.
Yeah.
Or even who else could? Like a bard or a ranger?
Anybody,
or even
really.
Anybody. But they're gonna know, right? Or they might not know. Does the town have those resources?
If they're like, we got to save the baby. We got to save the baby. Get the baby out, right? So they go for it, and the baby comes out, and it lives. They won't know right away that it's a Dampier.
Right, okay. But they know that there's a possibility is what I'm saying, or they don't.
If they are educated in the ways of vampires, vampire lore, yeah, they'll be like, shit, this kid might be a Dampier. Isn't a bad thing necessarily. Well,
I'm thinking kinda. If you're running it in your game, you probably have like a hook like that to like tell your players that that's what's going on.
Sure,
at some level.
Yeah, I'm sure that you figure out a way. Or like maybe your players save this baby or whatever and you don't tell them. And then later on, we fast forward like 5 years and like animals start going missing.
Shit.
Anyways, typically speaking, Dampiers tend to be thin and willowy in stature, with pale skin and slightly pointed ears. They have slightly pronounced canines and blood red eyes. These features don't really start showing up until they quote unquote quicken.
Right.
So like they'll look normal, right? But once they quicken, like this will all kind of be more apparent. Unlike their full-blooded vampire kin, Dampiers are typically unharmed by sunlight or positive energy. They're daywalkers, poised between the worlds of the living and the dead. Dampiers retain their grip on life, yet are endlessly tested by vicious hungers. Their ties to the undead grant Dampiers a taste of a vampire's deathless prowess in the form of increased speed, dark vision, and a life-draining bite.
So they're just like, they're not even. They're just suffering like from symptoms of vampirism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not. They're not actual. Well, I guess you are a vampire.
They're like half vampires.
Yeah.
They're you know,
they're diet vampires.
They get increased. They're diet vampires. They get the increased speed and the strength and the life draining bite, but it's not as potent as a real vampire.
Okay, cool. Superhumans that need to drain the blood of living creatures.
They're like Blade. They're Blade. Due to their vampiric origins, every Dampier knows a deep-seated thirst slaked only by the living. Those who overindulge their thirst risk losing control and forever viewing others as prey. Those who resist might find exceptional ways of controlling their urges or suppress them through constant molar-grinding restraint. In any case, temptation haunts Dampiers, and circumstances conspire to give them endless reasons to indulge. While many Dampiers thirst for blood, Van Richten's guide gives a chart with few other options.
I'll read the chart.
Go ahead.
One is blood. You're going to roll a d6.
Yeah, you're going to roll a d6.
Kind of
or just pick one.
Yeah. If you roll a one, if you're doing it like that, you that's blood. Mm-hmm. Two is flesh or raw meat.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get, if somebody's peeling, like from summertime, you just go up and like be creepy about it.
They're a gold member. They're gold member. Yeah, they want some of that, the skin flakes.
Yeah.
For the collection. They also eat one.
Save me from myself.
Oh my God. That's disgusting.
Number three is a cerebral or spinal fluid.
That's so specific.
Like in Attack on Titan. Yeah.
Was that a thing?
Spoilers for Attack on Titan.
Is that what the Titans want? They want the spinal fluid?
No. That's okay. Not what the Titans want.
Okay. Then how is it related?
Spoiler. It's major spoilers. I'm not going to say
okay.
It. I'll tell you later.
Sure.
Bring up spinal fluid later. I'll be like Attack on Titan? And then.
Yeah. I mean, spinal fluid exists. We all have it.
Yep, we sure do. Okay. And you won't believe what happens in Attack on Titan with spinal fluid.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so number four is psychic energy. Number five is dreams. And what? Like Haunter? Okay, and then six is life energy.
Like Haunter.
I gotta go Darkrai someone's fucking life.
So I really like this feature, especially when we get through to four, five, and six, because it is more like other types of creatures. So number one, like psychic vampires is like a thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they basically feed off like emotions and or just like energy in general. Have you ever seen the show What We Do in the Shadows?
No.
Have you seen the movie What We Do in the Shadows? No. Fuck, that's a good movie. It's really funny. It's basically like a mockumentary with three vampires living in the modern world. Well, there was a spinoff show with the same name, and it's a similar premise. Three vampires living in the modern world, but there's a fourth one who lives in their duplex who's a psychic vampire. And he's like a character out of like The Office.
Okay.
And he works in like an office setting, and he is constantly draining his coworkers by being really fucking annoying. And it's just really funny. And you should definitely check out that show because it's
so
good.
That's pretty good. Okay.
The dreams reminds me of like the mythological creature, the nightmare, which sits on your chest and like drains your energy as you have nightmares.
Yikes.
And then life energy is like, is it Mobius, the energy vampire from Spider-Man?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it is Mobius.
Yeah, there
you go. It's not even, I think Mobius is its own whole thing. It's not even like from, it is from Spider-Man, right?
Well, yeah,
like,
that's the thing that most people will remember him from is Spider-Man.
He's getting his own movie.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I think it's a Sony movie. I think it's from
Spider-Man. Because it's from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All right, back to Dampiers. Because of their unusual circumstance of being not only half-breeds, but also the spawn of the undead, Dampiers often feel out of place and ostracized, regardless of where they dwell. Grim and sober, Dampiers are often guarded and obsessive, though they also exhibit a great deal of patience and a penchant for dark humor as well. With unique insights into the nature of the undead, many Dampiers become adventurers and or monster hunters. Their reasons are often deeply personal. Some seek danger, imagining monsters as personifications of their own hungers. Others pursue revenge against whatever turned them into a Dampier.
Nice.
And still others embrace the solitude of the hunt, striving to distance themselves from those who tempt their hunger.
I'm definitely going to go get revenge for this dumb bullshit.
I definitely get ranger vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's a good one, too, because if you're trying, like...
A monster hunter, ranger,
yeah.
Dampier. That's
pretty
great.
Good
flavor. The degree of outcast feeling a Dampier may or may not have varies from individual to individual. It depends to a certain degree on the environment in which the Dampier is raised. Like all of us, really.
We are all much like Dampier, but slower and less bloodthirsty.
Indeed. Possessing some of the strengths of vampires and none of their traditional weaknesses, Dampiers are simultaneously valued and discriminated against by both sides of their heritage.
That tracks. It's like the opposite of half-elves, right?
It's kind of... No, it's kind of just like half-elves.
Oh, that's right. It's
exactly like half-elves, yeah. A Dampier might be born into a mortal society, or they might be raised by now I'm fucking it up. It's vampires, not vampires. God damn it. Dampires and vampires. By vampires and treated as special, but lesser members of a vampire clan. So it's like you're accepted, but you're like, we're class A, you're class B.
And that we're side-by-siding the names like this.
It's,
again,
it's rough.
It's like, it really should be Dampire.
It really
should
be.
Or it should just be Vampire. Like, okay, we need to stick with one.
I know.
We need to get on one side of the
fence
here.
Indeed. In the former case, how Dampires are treated depends largely on whether or not the Dampier's neighbors know of their true nature. In cases where a Dampier's heritage is a secret known only to a few, many Dampiers can safely pass as mortal without incident. When a Dampier's true nature is known, however, they are more often than not, and sadly, mistreated.
Dang. Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Dungeon Cast, where we pronounce it Demogorgon and
Dampire.
Dampire.
Yeah, indeed.
This is just a fact.
Indeed. Dampiers raised among vampires is another matter. Most vampires see their progeny as special creatures above the average mortal, though of less value than a true vampire.
Damn.
As a result, dampiers are the favorite thralls of true vampires, who utilize them as soldiers and assassins, giving them tasks that are considered beneath a true vampire, but allowed opportunity for prestige nonetheless.
It's worthy, but expendable.
Indeed. In some cases, dampiers are even allowed to use the names of vampire clans as their surname, a high honor in vampiric society.
Okay. Started to sound like our Wyvern Wyvern episode.
I know. Some dampiers, every time I'm like, I almost say dampire. Some dampiers view their heritage as a curse, others as a blessing. The former often turn to hunting their undead brethren, becoming dead stalkers who hunt down vampires and other undead, turning vampires' own abilities against them. Those who feel their heritage makes them special, however, are more likely to become what are called blood knights, using their supernatural abilities as a tool to make them deadlier warriors.
Okay.
Any questions about dampiers before you give us all these juicy traits?
No, I have to read. I can't be Google image searching right
now. You got a job to do, Brian.
I have a job to do. Okay. Because I was going to look up dead stalkers. I'll do this later. Okay, no, I'm good. I get the idea. Mm-hmm. I got it when we were talking about Blade. So, yeah. Did it. That's a fucking landmine. Dampier traits. You have the following racial traits. Creature type. You are humanoid. You are medium or small. You choose a size when you gain this lineage. Okay, so your walking speed is 35 feet. You have ancestral legacy. If you replace a race with this lineage, you can keep the following elements of that race. Any skill proficiencies you gain from it and any climbing, flying, or swimming speed you gain from it. Vampire, Aarakocra are crazy.
I was going to say a Dampier Aarakocra, yeah.
Well, that's basically just what Dracula do anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah. But now you're a Dampire. I mean, a Dampier.
Yeah. I got you. If you don't keep any of those elements or you choose this lineage at character creation, you gain proficiency in two skills of your choice. Nice.
Ooh, okay.
That's cool. It's kind of like Tasha-y.
Neat.
Dark vision. You can remind your dungeon master when you go into a dark cave that you have dark vision.
We can.
Endlessly. Every time.
I was going to say we just skip it, but yeah, good point.
Deathless nature. You don't need to breathe.
Cool. But you do need to eat and drink.
You do need to eat and drink. Blood or what, psychic energy or whatever. Spider climb, you get weird.
You get weird quick.
real quick, exorcism style. You have a climbing speed equal to your walking speed. In addition, at third level, you can move up, down, side to side, vertical surfaces, and upside down along ceilings.
Upside down, that's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
man.
This is a powerful fucking race.
There was a guy that one of my coworkers showed me was running on all fours, mm-hmm. and it was doing a really good job.
Oh,
and he was doing it in the woods with leather gloves.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's I love it.
It was more spooky than a dampire.
Yeah, for sure. Well, because it was a dampire.
It probably was a dampire. And that's what your dampire can do, running on the ceiling, though.
Yeah.
He's destroying your drywall because he's kicking off it too hard.
Indeed.
Like an anime. Let's see. Vampiric bite. Your fang bite is a natural weapon, which counts as a simple melee weapon, which with you are proficient. You add your constitution modifier instead of your strength modifier to the attack and damage rolls when you attack with this bite. It deals 1d4 piercing damage on a hit. When you are missing half or more of your hit points, you have advantage on attack rolls you make with this bite. Neato.
So, I want to ask, did you notice something about everything you just read about the Dampier? Did you notice anything missing?
Anything missing? Let's see. Your Fang Bite, natural weapon, simply melee weapon, proficiency, con mod, attack damage rolls.
I mean from the entire damage. Block. From the entire block, not just that one
feature.
Oh,
you know... Let me finish the block, because...
Oh, I thought you had...
When you attack with this bite and hit a creature that isn't a construct or an undead, you can empower yourself in one of the following ways of your choice. You regain hit points equal to the piercing damage dealt by that bite. You gain a bonus to the next ability check or attack roll you make. The bonus equals the piercing damage dealt by that bite. That's cool. You can empower yourself with this bite a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. No, at like a glance like this, I did not.
Okay.
I just kind of read the sheet.
So the thing that's missing is there are no ability score increases labeled on the block.
Oh, I kind of just think that, what do you mean? Like,
well, there's no ability score increases. Like, there's no plus two to strength, plus one to wisdom.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So, like, huh? Okay. So I did a little research, and basically when you choose this lineage mm-hmm. and swap out your race, you get to just choose your plus two and your plus one.
Just like the skills here, right? It says two skills of your choice.
Just
or
like
whatever.
The skills. And essentially, I guess what I want to say was, like, D&D is sliding in this direction. And I think it's a good thing where when it comes to, you know, your species of choice, We're not going to give you any inherent ability scores. It could be whatever you want based off of, like, your character's life.
Yeah.
But, like, the things that stick out about the race that you choose are these features. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That way, like, you can have an elf that's good at any class. You can have a dwarf that's good at any class. You don't have to necessarily try and optimize because it comes pre-optimized based off of your backstory. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it doesn't make you want to have to, like, you can min-max anything now. It doesn't make you want to have to play an elf ranger or
right,
elf
exactly.
magician or whatever.
Yeah, but you equally can still do that.
Right.
So it's going to be the same thing with the hexblade. I just wanted to see if you noticed it, because I noticed it and immediately it sent me into a spiral.
That's cool.
Let's take a short rest.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're back. We're more back than we've ever been.
Are we?
Same amount, really. I was going to say that last episode because it had been such a long time since we recorded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been sick. So, yeah, it's been. We've put off a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But so let's talk about our next spooky lineage option, because technically these aren't races; these are lineages.
Yeah,
that can swap out your base race.
Right, like you retain that, but you are this on top of it. I think that's great. That's
right.
Exactly what it should be.
Yes, I agree. For these specifically, it makes sense. So, Hexbloods. It's time to talk about Hexbloods.
It is time.
It's a really cool name for a really cool concept. Hexbloods are humanoids who have either fey ancestry in their genetics, or have received a blessing or curse from fae or natural entities that have turned them into Hexbloods. Kind of like fae tieflings in a way, a little bit. That being said, Venerictin's Guide really pushes specifically the connection between Hexbloods and hags. Probably because it's focused on horror, like as a book it's focused on horror and the domains of dread, which hags fit into very nicely.
Okay.
But also I think it's because wizards originally wanted the Hexblood to be like a hagkin humanoid option.
Okay.
But also, as I kind of just said before the short rest, you know, at least with 5e, it's really started to take a hard stance against being too rigid with their lore. They want you to have the flexibility. They want you to be able to decide whether you want to use something or not. Thus, here you have your cake and eat it two option.
Okay.
It's totally a Hagblood race, unless you don't like that idea, in which case it's a Feyblood / curse thing, which honestly I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cohesive. That's easy to translate between each one.
Right.
I wonder if it has anything to do, like, Van Richten's Guide came out not too far after Tasha's, right?
It was pretty close.
And that Tasha is inherently, like, a hag-related kind of character. It?
Well, is she?
Yeah, she's, like, raised by hags, I think.
I don't know that much about Yggdrasil. Whenever I think about because Tasha is Yggdrasil. But, like, whenever I think about her, I think about Grost, I think about demons.
Yes, because she goes on to do that.
Yeah, I think of.
Pretty sure she learns, like, hag magic.
That's interesting. So I wonder if she's a Hexblood. I don't know enough about her. We will do an episode on her one day.
Yeah, that's. Isn't that on the docket?
At some point, it is.
I thought it was on the docket. You know what I mean?
It might be. If it is, I don't remember. But it will be.
No promises.
Within the next year, I guarantee we'll do an Yggdrasil episode. But okay. But yeah, that's interesting. That would also explain like why she's so goddamn powerful in magic. She was raised by the best of the best, plus with access to weird magic. That's pretty cool. But anyways, Hexbloods.
Yeah, I'll look it up later.
Yeah. Where wishing fails, ancient magic can offer a heart's desire, at least for a time. Hexbloods are individuals infused with eldritch magic, fey energy, or mysterious witchcraft. Some who enter into bargains with hags gain their deepest wishes, but eventually find themselves transformed. These changes evidence a hag's influence. Ears that split in forked points. You should look up what these Hexbloods look like, because they look fucking cool.
On it.
Where was I? Forked points. Skin in lurid shades, long hair that regrows if cut, and an irremovable living crown. Along with these marks, Hexbloods manifest hag-like traits such as dark vision and a variety of magical methods to beguile the senses and avoid the saint.
How accurate. It's like a horrible starfish on its face.
I don't know if that's an official one, but click that one. I think that one's official.
Well, this is definitely says D&D Beyond on it.
Okay. Well, that's out of the book, so... That's, I think, what they're supposed to look like.
Okay, I see.
While many Hexbloods gain their lineage after making a deal with a hag, others reveal their nature as they age, particularly if a hag influenced them early in life or even before their birth. Many Hexbloods turn to lives of adventure, seeking to discover the mysteries of their magic, to forge a connection with their fey natures, or to avoid a hag that obsesses over them.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. One way...
These are cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. One way hags create more of their kind is through the creation of Hexbloods. Every Hexblood exhibits features suggestive of the hag whose magic inspires their powers. This includes an unusual crown, often called an Elder Cross or a Witch's Turn. Both fucking cool names. I just think, I don't know where if that comes out of real folklore, but they both sound super cool. This living garland-like part of the Hexblood's body extends from their temples and wraps around behind their head, serving as a visible mark of the bargain between hag and Hexblood, a debt owed or change to come.
Okay.
So they have... A random role chart for your Hexblood origin, like how you became a Hexblood. I'll read this because you're gonna read the stat block right after.
Right.
By the way, Hexbloods are a really new thing, and like this is literally the only source book for them is Van Richten's Guide. There's nothing else.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So unless there's some super obscure thing that I couldn't find, at this point I'm pretty good at finding all the obscure things, but you know I'm never perfect. So if you guys know Hexbloods before 5e, hit me in the comments. I want to know about it. So we got six options.
Oh, let me do it.
I wanted to do it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So number one, seeking a child, your parent made a bargain with a hag. You are the result of that arrangement. So you were a gift to your parents. Number two, fey kidnappers swapped you and your parents' child. So you're like a failing.
Okay.
You're like what are those in real fey lore? Changelings, that's what they're called.
Changelings.
Yeah.
I like the first one. It's like, I don't know. I guess I do have a spare baby.
I just happen to.
Yeah.
A coven of hags lost one of its members. You were created to replace the lost hag.
Oh, wow.
You were cursed as a child. A deal with the spirits of the forest transformed you into Hexblood, now free of the curse.
You were peeling bark in the woods, and they got really pissed about it.
Yeah. Number five, you began life as a fey creature, but an accident changed you, and you were forced you from your home. That's weird. That's kind of an interesting one. It's like you were...
like Bambi?
Or you were a dryad, but like something, you got cursed into a mortal form.
they cut the tree down like below your feet.
Ooh, that's interesting. Okay. Finally, six, a slighted druid transformed you and bound you to live only so long as a sacred tree bears fruit. Interesting.
So your life is
you're guarding that fucking tree,
like
another force, a tree. Like kind of like the rose and the beast and Beauty and the Beast, but in this case, it's life or death instead of just your permanent transformation.
This one seems whack because like how the fuck am I? Maybe I'm on a journey to try and break the curse, and like the tree is, I just gotta like I'm on the time limit.
Yeah, the lumberjacks are coming.
They're coming.
Yeah, they're cutting down the Amazon and nothing's stopping them.
The winter winds will kill the roots.
Okay, there's that too.
Or like whatever.
Sure. All right, you got any questions about Hexenwoods before you read off this lineage stat block?
Winter in the Fae is in 6 years from now.
Yeah, but then it lasts 6 years, and the life-bearing fruit,
I've got like
the fruit-bearing tree will not live through an entire winter.
I got like 8 years max.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, excellent. did you ask me if I have questions? Because I fucking don't.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
tell me about it.
Hexblood traits: you have the following racial traits. You get you are Fae. You are medium or small, you choose. Your walking speed's 30. And then you have the ancestral legacy. If you replace a race with this lineage, you can keep the following elements of that race: any skill proficiencies you gain from it, and any climbing, flying, or swimming speed, just like the Dampier. And I imagine that's the ability scores as well. Yes?
Yes, exactly.
If you don't keep any of those elements or you choose lineage, you choose to. Same with the ability scores. You get a +2 and +1, or 2 +1s?
You get a +2 and a +1.
Nice, okay. Dark vision. You can see in dim light within 60 feet of you.
You get dark vision. Yeah. Skip.
Eerie token. As a bonus action, you can harmlessly remove a lock of your hair, one of your nails, oh God, and one of your teeth, oh God, again. This token is imbued with magic until you finish a long rest. While the token is imbued in this way, you can take these actions.
So, real quick, this is that's a hag feature. I'm sorry. Like, it's hard to spin that as a different fae. To me.
Totally.
Like it doesn't speak Elven or Eladrin or Winter Fae. It doesn't Lady of Arran Darkness, Titania. It doesn't speak to any of that stuff to me.
Maybe it's a more underlying like it's a hag thing, but before that it's a fae thing.
I mean, hags are fae, so there is that. It's just again, like this is a hag.
I see what you're saying.
This is a hag. You're a half hag. Sorry, go ahead.
As a eerie token, I just read that. You get a telepathic massage. Just kidding, it's message.
Yeah.
As an action, you can send a telepathic message to the creature holding or carrying the token as long as you are within 10 miles of it. This message can contain up to 25 words. Choose carefully. Remote viewing. If you are within 10 miles of the token, you can enter a trance as an action. The trance lasts for 1 minute, but it ends early if you dismiss it. No action required or incapacitated. During this trance, you can see and hear from the other token as if it were located where it is, as if you were located where it is. While you are using your senses at the token's location, you are blinded and deafened in regard to your own surroundings. When the trance ends, the token is harmlessly destroyed. That's like your AirPods. You can like leave your AirPod in a room and then your iPhone can like play what's happening, or the other AirPod, I think. It's like just a wireless headphone trick.
Very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, you just leave that shit in the room like on.
So it's like a surveillance device?
It can be used that way. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sure it wasn't intended to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
So and next is Hex Magic.
Hex Magic. You can cast the disguise self and hex spells with this trait. Nice.
Both cool spells they just naturally get.
I love both spells. Once you cast either of these spells with this trait, can't cast it again until you have a long rest. You can also cast these spells using any spell slot you have. Nice. I love that. That's the extra on there.
Nice.
Intelligence, Wisdom, and Charisma are your spellcasting ability for these spells. Choose the ability when you gain this lineage. So you just pick one of these. It's cool. It's kind of like a custom-built thing.
Yeah. Again, we're leaning more into like we want you to be able to do what you want with these features. We're trying to give you the flavor and the scaffolding to build your characters around.
Right. So,
and I think it's a good philosophy.
Specialize how you want.
Yeah, I think it's the philosophy D&D needs to take, because I think if there's any like constant criticism against the systems of D&D, it is how like a lot of people who like other systems will say like, well, I can actually build whatever I want within the rule set, and like I don't feel as like contained and blah 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 blah. Which I've never had that problem with D&D. You know, maybe it's just the way I think about it is a little bit different, or maybe I'm just more willing to homebrew or hand wave.
Yeah.
Like other people might be a little more rigid with, well, no, I want to follow the rules.
I think a lot of people have a really hard time with homebrew because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. Which is odd to me, but I guess I understand. But this kind of philosophy change is kind of taking that one criticism and making it in a way a little bit more like Dungeon World or one of those,
yeah.
You know? And I think that's where tabletop gaming does kind of want to go, because it is more accessible. It's easier to grasp. And
kind of like, lay out the framework of freedom in front of you.
Right. And a lot of times whenever I bring someone new to D&D, a lot of times they do want to build something that it's actually really hard for me to put together. You know what I mean? And now it's getting easier and easier, and I think mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have a unique perspective on what a character in a game is supposed to be.
Right,
so
exactly.
They don't know the classics.
Yeah, yeah. They don't. They're not married to those tropes.
Yeah, I think when I first started, I didn't really have like
the preconception.
Of anything.
Yeah.
And so you were like, you have to pick from these, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll just like, there it is.
Right.
Oh, I can do something cool with like one of these options. And
that
gave me so much freedom, and I wanted to play the game the way it was meant to be,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
first time around.
Yeah.
Now
which
I just kinda,
is how it goes.
I just kind of do whatever I want now.
Exactly. Welcome to the club, man.
Yep.
All right, let's get ready for a long rest.
Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. We get long. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here with you.
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
we're going to talk about Patreon.
Okay.
Go there. Patreon.com/thedungeoncast.
If you want to support us, yes, go to patreon.com. It's the best way to support the show directly.
You can listen to horror stuff.
Also, we have a lot of cool stuff there, including our evil horror campaign.
It was like five games. It was like 8 hours.
And it's a full, complete story, and it's with a bunch of hilarious characters. And there's other stuff there. There's early episodes. There's original music from Super Quest Saga. There's other series. There's Ranger Danger. There's Vault Raiders. These are all different, like, full D&D series with unique characters and storylines. And, again, most importantly, you can also get merch. But most importantly, it does support us. It does help us keep this thing going. And it's been going a long time, and that is so much in part to our wonderful patrons. So thank you to everyone. Patron shout-outs are coming this episode.
Stay tuned.
Indeed.
Patron shout-outs.
Another way you can support us and also benefit yourself is check out our spring.com store, our merch store. We got shirts, we got hats, we got masks, we got stickers. We got all kinds of things there, all with different cool Dungeon Cast and Super Quest Saga designs. If you want to rep the show and also help support us, go there. Check it out. Buy a shirt.
Yeah, because telling people about the show, like bringing in new listeners, that's critical as well.
Yes.
So, like all our outreach is designed, like contest outreach and stuff, is designed to like help boost and bolster that. Thank you guys, and leaving an iTunes review is super duper important.
Yeah, I want to see more iTunes reviews.
Can you guys please?
Yeah, if you're listening to Apple Podcasts,
Stop
what you're doing. Leave a review.
I think you can continue the audio.
I must ask, only 4-star or above, please. If you want to give us a 2-star review,
why dick around? Like, please just go drop us a 5-star.
If we're only a 2-star podcast, I mean, I guess.
What are you doing here?
That makes, you don't have to listen. I'm sorry you got to go, but you know, you don't have to listen. You don't have to leave
thanks
an answer.
Thanks anyway.
Review.
Like, that's great.
Thanks for giving us a try.
Yeah.
That being said, please leave the review. It helps us tremendously.
It sure does.
We got a beholder to build.
Let's build a beholder.
So we are on
quick recap.
Feature Ray and Ray 2. Of this unnamed beholder, we got the goggle feature, so it's got a goggle eye.
Yeah.
And what did you say the ray was?
The ray was the
Fey Blessings.
Fey Blessings.
So this thing is shooting nice scents. It's making flowers grow. It's starting off real sweet, but guess what?
Just a mist?
Yeah, just a mist. Just like, a nice mist.
Mostly mist from
Misty
Pan.
We all like fog. Fog's nice, unless you're driving. So
you're sailing.
At first, I thought this creature was going to, you know, this might be the one sweet beholder we build this year. And then I realized it was October. So let's get into it.
Yeah, we should. So
what do you want to start with?
This beholder has a tentacle that has little vampire teeth on it, or vampire teeth on it.
So this is going to be the ray. The end of one of its eye stalks.
And it just
has a vampire mouth.
It kind of is the op. It shoots a bunch of blood like in a horror movie.
It's
so
a blood ray.
There's blood everywhere.
What's mechanically, what does this do?
It gets blood all over the place.
Okay, but does it like blind the enemy? Maybe it causes fear. It sends vampires into a bloodlust.
Some people are going to pass out instantly.
Oh, sure. That's true. A very select 5% of people will instantly faint. That's true.
That's really good.
He just does it. He just does it as a, well, maybe one of these guys. And just like, pfft.
Yeah.
Oh, I got one. Okay, so yeah, yeah. There's a percentile dice. Everyone has to roll a percentile dice. Anyone who rolls a 5 or lower faints.
Yeah.
For one round.
Sure.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and then for the...
And they have to... Aye! And they
yes,
faint.
Of course. I have a EMT story about when a dude fainted when I took just a little bit of blood and he went down like that. I felt bad. He warned me. He warned me ahead of time, so I knew it was coming. But anyways,
I'm gonna pass out my
back to our beholder.
Please take my blood.
For the physical feature, we're gonna give our beholder some hex blood ears. So like the double forked, pointed colored ears.
Just throw them on there.
Yeah. Let's go with a green. We haven't done green for a beholder yet. So right now this beholder's green.
We'll see. How about yellow?
Oh, that's nasty. I want green. We haven't done green's my favorite color.
There are no green minions.
No, fuck the minion thing. We're not doing minions. It's green. It's green. It's officially green.
Okay.
We're moving on. Patreon shoutouts. Let's shout out some Patreons.
Some Patreons. That's where the verbiage is going. A lot of people just call them. I am your Patreon.
That's so stupid. Yeah. Thank you, Patreons.
We love you anyway.
I don't like that you're called Patreons. You should be called patrons. But anyways.
They're called patrons. It's just like people have...
How many Patreons do you have? Well, I have one page. You could go do it and support us. Support me. Sorry.
Thank you, C-Fin.
Thank you, C-Fin.
These are Patreon shoutouts now.
Yes.
C-Fin, what up, dog?
Thanks, C-Fin.
Samuel Spencer.
Thank you, Samuel.
Thank you, Samuel Spencer. David Emmons.
Thank you, David.
Is it Emmons?
It could be.
I love David Emmons. The double M, David.
Emmons. David Emmons.
And Emmons.
Like Emma?
Like Emmons.
Thank you, David.
Eminems. Thank you, David. Fox 90.
Thank you, Fox 90.
Fox 90, you fucking rule, dog.
Thanks, Fox 90.
Our Fox. Thank you, Fox 90. Hey, Fox 90. You out there, dog?
Thanks.
Thanks. Moonbird.
Thank you, Moonbird.
Cool name, Moonbird. What do you think of Moonbird? What do you think that's like?
I think
it flies so fucking good because there's no gravity.
I picture like a white like dove that flies only by night, and mates only during the full moon.
Yeah, only.
Thank you, Moonbird.
When is the moon full when you're on the moon?
Oh, you think it's a bird on the moon?
Yeah,
it's actually a moon bird.
I was thinking it was a bird on the moon.
Oh, I didn't even go that. I was just thinking a bird in the moonlight. But
does
so it's
the full
an alien.
Moon still work the same way if you're on the moon?
It's a moon of night.
Okay. Thank you, Brad Tracy.
Thank you, Brad.
Brad Tracy. Thank you, Brad Tracy. Oh, damn. Here it is again. The last mile. The last mile. Moving up the...
God damn the last mile.
What are you doing?
I love you, the last mile. Thank you so much. Supporting the show, like for real. Thank you the last mile.
Thank you for supporting the show so much.
Indeed.
The last mile.
We appreciate you, last mile.
They keep doing this.
And they're doing it on purpose. They want the shout out every time. And guess what? They're going to get it.
They're going to get that shit. We're going to get it.
Thank you, Last Mile.
You can give us 50 fucking cents. Just up 50. I don't know if you can do that.
I don't know if you can.
Does Patreon let you do that? You can give us the minimum on Patreon. We'll fucking say your name.
Thank you, Last Mile.
Thank you.
Is there anything else we want to add before we call it a game? We're running the coffee contest. We announced that last episode.
There's a coffee contest.
Yeah.
There's a Strixhaven contest coming up sometime in the future.
Yeah, that'll be later. Right now, it's all about coffee. We should have said it at
Spooky
the beginning
coffee.
If we didn't.
We did say it at the beginning.
Okay. Spooky coffee, yet again. Share the show. Go to Instagram. Follow the rules of the post. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.